I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And how many of y'all know that we are a church that is focused on Jesus? In fact, that's what we want to be able to help people do. We want to lead people to focus on Jesus. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to look at the life of Jesus and to be able to focus specifically on him, leading up to the Easter season, that we want to focus specifically on Jesus. That we believe in our church that we want to be a passionate church. That we believe that God has called us to be a passionate church. Why? Because he is passionate about us. For God so loved the world. He was passionate for the world. He was passionate for you and for me. And that's the reason why he came down to earth, because he is passionate about you. And so why would we not return that passion in kind? We want to love Jesus with everything that we have. That's what God has called us to do. You know, let me just, I want to pause really quickly and just say this. I've just been thinking about how much I truly love our church. I just love our church. And Jenny and I were having a conversation this week about just some of the things that God has just been doing. And I don't know about you, but it's not that I just love our church. I just love being part of the move of God that is happening in our church, right? It's something is just, it's just special that is happening. And I love every single bit of it. And I asked Jenny the question, and she responded in the same thing that I felt inside of my spirit. I said, what is it? Tell me one thing that you could pinpoint and say, that I love this aspect of our church right now. And she said, I love how unified we are as a church. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all know that we are unified? That God has given us one mission and one vision, and that together that we are going in this, because we know that wherever we add value, that God will multiply it. And that we are unified, especially after this past week. How many of y'all, like, fasting this past week? How many are thankful that we just had communion? We don't have to fast anymore. Anybody thankful for that? Oh, my goodness gracious. Man, it has been weird not having my phone the entire week. Sometimes it was wonderful. Sometimes it was frustrating. There were many times, I'm telling you, it was on my nightstand, and I'm walking out the door, and I would grab it and put it in my pocket. Look, my bad, putting that back over there. I'm glad that the fast is over. My wife was fasting sugar all week long, and I just had to give her a little bit of my sugar. That's what. That was a good one. That was a good one. You like that one? Oh, that's so funny. That we are unified, and that we know that God has something that's going on inside of us. And there's a love that we have for Jesus that just seems to be, it just seems to be rising, it's just rising up a little bit, right? Like there's a deeper love and a deeper understanding of what God has for us. And I can tell you that if we begin to love God more, that one thing that is going to happen inside of each and every single one of us is that the more that you love somebody, the more that you are like them. In fact, I believe that one of the most genuine aspects of love is that if you love somebody, you will learn to love like they love. You begin to learn to love like they love. Anybody familiar with the five love languages? Great book, powerful tool in any kind of relationships. It talks about the way that we speak and that we hear love, right? There's words of affirmation, gift giving, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, that there are different ways that we each receive love, and there's different ways that we each speak love. Now, an important thing about that tool is that not only do you begin to learn about yourself the way that you hear love, but it's important that you learn how that other person that you are with hears love. That you're not just trying to make that person that you are with conform to you, but that you begin to learn their love language. You begin to speak and you begin to show love like they love. Here's what we're going to be doing for the next 3 weeks. As we begin to love Jesus, which I believe that our church is doing, that we are going into a deeper understanding and a deeper love for Jesus, that we are going to begin to speak his love language. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks. We are going to look at different ways that Jesus showed us how to speak love to the world around us. They will know we are Christians by our love. And we are going to learn to love like Jesus loves. We're going to talk about the way that Jesus wants us to love. When I was in high school, I was thinking about this story. It's weird. Some of you haven't been in high school for a little while. You don't think about high school very often, do you? Like I don't usually think about high school that often anymore. And a lot of our students that are sitting back here, you wish you did not think about high school at all, right? Like you're like, I'm looking forward to that day. And I had a pretty good experience in high school, but like anybody, man, I had a little bit of drama. Anybody have any drama in high school? Anybody? How many of y'all know like what kind of weird social experiment is high school? You know, like let's put 1,000 kids inside of one building and let's see what happens. Like, it's such a weird thing. Anybody have that social experience go sideways for them? Right? Like all of us, man, all of our students back there, right now. You know, like we all have moments. There's things that happen, and I had a moment. I had a moment in high school where things got a little bit sideways for me. I had a friend of mine, his name was Corey, and Corey was somebody who I knew. We weren't like you know best friends or anything like that, but we would hang out, you know, play some basketball, whatever, every once in a while. And one time I was hanging out with Corey and a bunch of other people, and there was a guy there that I'd never met before. We're all playing basketball, and there was a guy there, his name was Andy. And Andy was one of those guys that we just hit it off right away. You know, like, you ever been that where you just like, you immediately, there's just connection. You have all of a sudden, we just knew that we were just going to be really good friends. And pretty soon, Andy became one of my best friends. I mean, we just did everything together. We hung out together all the time. He started coming to church with me and just had such a great relationship. And what neither one of us understood, Andy and I, is that relationship, for whatever reason, that Corey did not appreciate that we became friends, at least that good of friends. We didn't realize it, but he felt that we ostracized him. Anybody know that feeling? Anybody ever have that before where you feel like you're friends with somebody, but then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, how come you're not hanging out with me? You know, like insecurities begin to pop up. I had no idea that was the case with him. And Corey, what he decided to do is he was going to do something about his insecurities. And so he had a plan in place. I'm not sure how malicious it was, but he had a plan in place to be able to say, okay, fine, you guys want to be able to pull me away, then I'm gonna do something about little best friends, Darren and Andy. And so what he did is I had no idea. He began to invite me to go to stuff. And, you know, hey, I got somebody to invite me to go hang out, go play ball or whatever it is. Sure, I'll go play. We'll go play basketball whenever, you know. And so I started going to that, you know, hanging out with Corey again and doing some things here and there. And his parents invited me for dinner, all of this kind of stuff. And what I didn't realize was as I was hanging out with Corey, that Corey began to talk to Andy. Anybody following me now? Like, this is some drama, isn't it? You're already feeling it. Like, some of y'all are like, oh my goodness, this is drama. Like, I don't even like talking about this. That he began to talk to Andy. And what he would tell Andy were a bunch of lies about me. He began to tell Andy that every time that we were hanging out, that I was talking trash about him. That I was saying negative things about him and dragging him through the whatever. I don't even know what some of those things were. And Andy began to feel like, come on, man, what's going on? But he never said anything to me. And pretty soon, there began to be a little bit of separation between me and Andy. Didn't even know what happened. Didn't even realize what was going on. And one specific day after school, typically I would get ride home from somebody from somewhere, whatever it was. And I'm walking down the hall, and there's Andy. We hadn't spoken for a little while. But Andy was just feeling he was feeling good inside, and he wanted to kind of reach out to me, see if he could kind of reconcile some things. And so he said, hey, you want to ride home? Absolutely, man. Let's do this. And so we're walking down the hall, just me and Andy. And Corey sees us walking down the hall. And Corey had a little bit of fear that got inside of him. And he came running and he was like, hey, Darren, I need you to be able to help me with this thing over here. And I was like, hey, man, I'm going to go help Corey. And Andy, feeling rejected at that moment, said, enough is enough. I'm done with you. For whatever reason it was, man, we just completely separated. And Corey, knowing that was a moment that he had separated our relationship, he decided that he was going to ostracize me as well. Since he had destroyed that relationship, now I wasn't anything to him, and why does he need me around anymore? And the next thing I knew, I'm walking around school, and I'm like, where did all my friends go? With friends like that, and who needs enemies, right? Anybody remember moments like that? Something similar? Maybe not the exact same story, but there's hurts and there's wounds that go on, and that people can be vicious, can't they? Each of us have gone through some moments where somebody said something to you in a very personal way, and the next thing you know that you shared something back, and then they used it to stab you in the back. And you felt betrayed, you felt wounded before, and maybe it was something that you felt like you let go of. But the next thing you know, somebody tries to reach out to you, and you're feeling those wounds again, and you've put up all of these trust barriers around yourself, and you're saying, I'm hurt and I'm wounded. And for people like that, I don't have any time for them. And then we read something very powerful that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. And he said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Anybody feel that? To love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You've heard it said before. Well, not by you, right? Like you would never say that. You would never say it out loud, but how many of you have felt it before? I would never say those words out loud that I want to hate somebody, but now I'm getting wounded. Now I've got somebody that's coming after me, and I don't feel good about this. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but Jesus throws something that is just completely out of left field for the people at that time. And he said this, he said, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How do we love like Jesus? Today we're going to talk about that we are called to love your enemies. We are going to love our enemies. Now this might be something that's easy for us to be able to talk about because we've heard this passage before, and it's easy to be able to talk about until you actually have an enemy, isn't it? It's easy to be able to say, well, yeah, I've read that scripture before. That's all fine and dandy until somebody actually hurts you or hurts somebody that you love tremendously. It's easy to be able to say this. What about if I just walk through an abusive relationship? What about that pedophile that wrecked our family? What about that person that I used to share everything with, and they used all of that information to stab me in the back? What about that moment? It's all fine and dandy, Jesus, for you to be able to go ahead and say that until you actually walk through that circumstance. When we talk about this today, maybe there's some of you in here who have a wound that went all the way back to high school. Maybe there's a wound that you're walking through right now. But here's what I know without a shadow of a doubt, is that this affects every single person in here. Well, not me. Yes, it does. Because we live in a world where we get hurt by people. You've been hurt in the past. You might be getting hurt right now. You're going to get hurt in the future. And if you've been hurt before, I want you to be able to think about that person right now. That we're not going to just talk about loving our enemies in some obscure, abstract way. Let this be a philosophical talk. Let's put this into action. Somebody who has hurt you, somebody who has hurt somebody who's close to you. It's easy for us to be able to just read this passage and then just go on our merry way until we actually have an enemy that's right in front of us, until we're living with this hurt. I don't want to be able to love that person. I don't feel like loving this person. So thank you, Jesus, for saying that. But you have no idea the kind of pain that I'm going through. You have no idea what it's like to have somebody betray you. So it's easy for you to go ahead and say that, but you have no idea what I'm walking through. Well, guess what? He does. Jesus has had that kind of excruciating pain happen to him. In fact, when Jesus was walking this earth, for a little over 3 years, that he had some people that were really close to him. They're called the disciples. He had 12 of those people. Three of them that he loved dearly, that were really, really close to him, and that he shared his life with. And after just over 3 years of walking this earth with those individuals, that one of them decided that they were going to sell him out for just a bag of silver. And betrayed him. And when that happened, when the moment of the betrayal happened, what did the other disciples do? They all took off. They all ran. They got scared. Instead of being able to stand up for somebody, how many of you felt like you had some friends that had your back and the next thing you knew, they were all gone? And I'm all alone. Jesus has been there before. He didn't just say this. He showed it to us. And when that betrayal happened, many of you know the story, but he had to go on trial for the innocence that he had. And in the middle of that innocence, somebody who said, "I will never leave you, God, I'm never going to turn my back on you," denied who he was 3 times. So close that Jesus could hear it and had eye contact with him. Jesus has been hurt before. And then he was found guilty and he was beaten. He was beaten so bad that they say that he didn't even look like a man. And then he went through excruciating pain. He was hung on a cross, the crucifixion. In fact, even the root word for crucifixion is where we get the word excruciating from. It was excruciating pain that Jesus was going through. And so whatever kind of wound that you have, whatever kind of hurt that has come upon you, let me tell you something, Jesus knows. He walked through it. And in the middle of that excruciating pain, in the middle of having people spit upon him, throw curses at him, how did he respond to those people? In Luke chapter 23, we see how he responded. And two other men, both criminals, who were also led out with him to be executed, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. He is getting crucified on this little hill called Golgotha, the Skull. And while he is sitting on there, and he is in excruciating pain and all of this betrayal that has happened to him, how does Jesus respond in that moment? He says these words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How did Jesus love? He loved his enemies. How has he called us to love? To love our enemies. It's really easy for us to talk about until you have an enemy. Until you have somebody who might be betraying you right now. Until you have somebody who's trying to pull you in a different direction right now, who's hurting you right now. How do you respond in those moments? Jesus has called us to love them. Which then leads us to the question, well, how am I supposed to do that, right? Because I don't feel like it. Can we just be honest about that, right? Like, how many of y'all are in that place where you're like, okay, I know that I'm supposed to love this person, but that gummit, like, I'm hurting inside. I am feeling this. I feel, you know what? You know what? Thank you so much. I'm having a really hard time. I'm really struggling with this. So how can we do it? Right? If that's how Jesus wants us to love, then we should know how can I do this? How am I going to be able to love this person who has hurt me tremendously? Well, the great thing is that Jesus, through his life, he showed us how to be able to do this. Even in some of the passages that we just read, how are we going to love our enemies? How are we going to love the people? How are we going to love somebody who believes the exact opposite thing that we do about a wall that should be built? Uh-oh. Like, hey, I didn't think you were talking about my Facebook enemy right now. I didn't think you were talking about my political enemy right now. I didn't think that you were talking about the person on the other side of the aisle right now. How are you going to love that person? Right? Here's what we do. Jesus showed us this. How are you going to love your enemy? The first thing that you need to do, you got to pray for them. You need to pray for your enemy. Look at the passage that we just read. What did Jesus do? Father. He's talking to his Father in heaven. What is that? That's prayer. As he's on the cross, experiencing excruciating pain, what does he do? He is praying for his enemy. How do we love our enemy? We pray for them. And the great thing is that this isn't the only place that we see Jesus practice this. He taught this, again, earlier on in his ministry in Luke chapter 6. He said, but to you who are listening, anybody listening today? Come on now, anybody listening today? But to you who are listening, Jesus says to you this. He says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Some of you in here are like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pray for them. I'm going to pray that they get hemorrhoids in their nose is what I'm going to pray for them. And that's gross, isn't it? I was holding my nose, that little itch. I said, my nose. I don't even want to look at that, man. Like, that'd be horrible. What's in the nose? Come on, Kurt. That's not how we pray for them. We want to pray blessings over their life. We want to be able to do good for them. Come on now. How do we love our enemies? We pray for them. Now, why on earth would Jesus teach us to pray for our enemies? Because I don't want to see them get blessed. Right? Pray for them because guess what? Something crazy might happen. Come on now. It might change them. How fantastic would that be? Right? Like all of a sudden, this person who has hurt you tremendously, that all of a sudden, maybe their heart would begin to change. Maybe they wouldn't be a jerk at work anymore. Maybe they might not take your bagel that you put your name on every single day, right? I don't know why they have to take my bagel. It's my everything bagel, right? That cream cheese is extra, and they're taking my extra, right? It could change them. James 5:16, the end of it says, the prayer of a righteous person. Come on now. Anybody righteous in here? Not by our own righteousness, but by God's righteousness. Is powerful and effective. You have effective prayer to help change somebody's heart. Pray for them. They might change. I'm going to tell you something. This week, as I was preparing for this message, like this, the Corey came to my mind. And I hadn't thought about this guy in like over 30 years. I don't even remember his last name. I couldn't look him up on Facebook if I wanted to. I tried to. I couldn't even remember if it was Corey with an EY or just a Y. I don't remember any of these things, you know? But he was on my heart. And I knew that God wanted me to begin to pray for him. I don't know what situation he's in or where his life is. And to be honest with you, I'm just being honest that my first thought was, I don't want to. But I know, okay, God, like, I'm going to talk about this, so I better start praying for him. Right? At least just 1 week of it, you know? And so the beginning of the week, I didn't have no idea what to pray for this guy about. And so I'm just going to be honest with you. This is just what my prayer was. God bless him. Just bless him. That's what your word said. Bless those who curse you. So God, just bless him. And that was it. And as the week began to move on, my prayers got a little bit longer for him. Not that longer means more effective, but it just changes a little bit. God, help him to be and do something significant this week. Whatever circumstance that he's in, God, I pray that you're just going to give him some wisdom. Wisdom that's beyond his own understanding. God, for his house right now, I pray that there is a peace over his house right now. Let this truly be a season of blessing. A blessing of hope, a blessing of joy. I'm going to tell you something. Like this week, I was praying that financial blessings would just pour down on this guy. Let it happen. Just bless him this week. Because here's what began to happen. Is that I began to pray for him more, following what God wants us to do, not only believing that it could change him, the more important thing is that this is what prayer did. It changes us. Why would you pray for your enemy? It might and it could change them, but it absolutely will change you. It's going to change you. And it's going to change your heart towards that person. Now, that doesn't mean you have to keep putting yourself into harm's way. You need to be wise about those things and not try to be able to say, well, I'm just going to keep going back to an abusive relationship. But inside of your heart, it's going to change. And you're going to have a little bit more grace for this person. And all of a sudden, the way that you're going to pray about them is going to change you. Why do you pray for your enemies? Because it possibly could change them, but it absolutely will change you. And I don't know about you, but I want to become more like Jesus every single day. Lord, change me. And how is that going to happen? I'm going to tell you, begin to pray for your enemy, the one that you're thinking about right now. Pray for them, and it will change you. It'll change your heart towards them, and it will change your heart towards the way you see the rest of the world. It will. Begin to pray for your enemy. How do you love like Jesus? You love your enemies. And how do you love your enemies? Number one, you got to be able to pray for them. Number two is this. You need to be able to forgive. Forgive them of the hurt that they have caused you. And not just in any way. You don't just forgive in any way. You need to forgive as you have been forgiven. Anybody ever been forgiven in here today? Come on, somebody. Raise your hand up if you've been forgiven. Come on, somebody. Anybody been here in here forgiven by Jesus? Come on now. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself in this. But I know, man, I've been forgiven of a lot. I don't know about you in here, but I know I've lied. I know I've cheated. I know that I have hurt people. I know that I have destroyed people, that I was self-destructive, and in turn, I was destroying people around me. I know the muck and the mire that I was in before, destructive behaviors with destructive relationship, and I know that my God, he brought me up out of that. He didn't leave me in that anymore, and that he freely forgave me. How do we forgive? As we have been forgiven. Not expecting anything back, but that we will forgive the way that Jesus has forgiven us. Anybody in here been forgiven by Jesus today? Come on now, Colossians 3:13 says this. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have a grievance, if you've been hurt, and if you've been wounded by somebody in here today, maybe even by somebody in the church, come on now, right? A Christian who did not act Christ-like at all. Which if you've been in church longer than a day, it's probably happened to you. because we're all faulty, human. In our humanness, we just hurt people. If that's happened to any of you in here, which I can look around this room and every single person, I know that you have a grievance, that you've been hurt, that you've been wounded by somebody. This applies to every single one of us. To forgive them, and you forgive as the Lord forgave you. Freely, without holding anything back. And He sacrificed everything for you. And then with that forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west, in my life I have sinned against myself. I've sinned against other people. I've sinned against my wife, my kids. And I've sinned against God. And in those moments that He calls me back in repentance, as soon as I say, "Father, forgive me," He washes us clean. We forgive as our Lord has forgiven us. How do we love our enemies? We pray for them. We forgive them. We love them the way that the Lord loves them. Now, here's reality for you today. The choice is yours. The choice is yours on how you respond to somebody who has hurt you. Some of you in here might even be in a relationship that is hanging on by a thread. And you even have grounds, biblical grounds for divorce. You also have grounds to forgive. The choice is yours. The choice is yours on if you're going to be able to let go of those things. And you're going to be able to forgive. You're still wise. It's not trying to continue to put yourself back into harm's way. I'm going to learn from it, but I'm not going to hold on to it. The choice is yours if you're going to either hold on to love with an open hand or you're going to hold on to bitterness with a closed fist. Because that's the choice that we have with an enemy, is love or bitterness. And I know there's hurting people that are holding on to bitterness. I've heard it said this, I love this statement. Bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. But it's destroying you. Hebrews 12:15. See to it, come on church, that no one falls, that's all of us in here, no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up that will cause trouble and defile. It doesn't just defile you, it defiles many. The choice is yours though. The choice is yours on what you're going to be able to do with that. The pain that you've had in the past, the pain that you're experiencing right now, or the pain that's coming in the future, because it's going to be there. It's easy to talk about this until you actually have an enemy. And what are you going to do? How are you going to choose? Today, I want to encourage you to do this. You got to make the choice to love. And then you have to keep on making that choice. Why is it that Jesus, when He was in excruciating pain and He's getting crucified on a cross, that His first notion was to be able to pray, "Father, forgive them"? Because He had been making that choice since He began ministry. Luke chapter 6, how many know 6 is a lot earlier than 23, right? So He'd been walking all the way from 6 to 23, preaching the exact same thing. making the same exact choice every single day. I'm going to love my enemy. I'm going to love my enemy. Every single day he made the choice. He kept making the choice over and over again, and it became second nature for him that in the middle of pain, Father, forgive them. That love just became his second nature. How are you going to choose today? You going to hold on to bitterness? Or are you going to open your hands and love? Like Jesus loved. The choice is yours. Church, would you please stand with me today? How are you going to choose? Are you going to choose a path of love? You're going to choose a path of bitterness? The choice is yours. We're going to sing through a song. And I want you to begin to process this inside of your heart. Don't let it just be a philosophical talk. Let that be that person that you were thinking about earlier today. And how are you going to choose today? My hope, my prayer for all of us, we're going to choose love.